Backseat Producers, episode number 308, The Artist. Once it's all done,
I mean, we'll have to mesh them together and make it work.
Plus, I had to get in some of the revelations. Just basically, I had to give Khan a reason for turning, and he had to know. I just felt somebody had to know what was going on with him and Rebecca, and so I put that in Daphne's lap.
Yeah, but not even they know, do they? Really?
Daphne has been told things by Rebecca.
Okay.
And so Daphne's smart enough. Okay. Daphne has other information that Rebecca couldn't know.
Okay.
And so has put it together.
Okay.
And she tells she doesn't know for sure, but she tells things to Khan in such a way that he basically
that element of the story. You didn't think it was so ridiculous that you were like, well, I guess we'll just
see. A little love triangle is interesting.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, I agree. It's just I kind of put it in there because I wanted to make the story lighter, so I thought it would be funny.
But, and what's funny is it actually makes mine really dark in that because it turns Daphne a little more sinister.
Okay.
She's a little more manipulative. And I kind of feel that if I play it right, it shows just how manipulative she can be.
Okay.
As a nun.
Okay. No, that's cool. I mean,
we're working on a pair of novels called The Law and the Hood, and he wrote The Law, which is basically the
boring book about law.
Boring.
Yeah.
And mine's an awesome swashbuckling book about Robin Hood.
So.
Two great tastes. It tastes great together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like lemon and coke, man. Law and the Hood. It's a long time coming.
We've been
working for like a year and a half. Yeah, right?
Three-ish years.
3 years?
Wow, that's commitment.
How long has the website been up?
Well, I don't know how long the website's been up, but what did I... I started writing it in earnest.
if there were only a way we could check.
Well, I guess I'm clocking the time for when we started writing it. We talked about it.
We
like
talked
a
about
year
it for.
And a half.
So wait, did you set up a website before you actually took any action on it?
Oh no.
Okay.
No.
We didn't publish the website.
The website's out there.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think we just wanted
it's
to
just
lock
get a WordPress.
In the
yeah, we basically wanted to lock in the domain because the Law in the Hood was just such a we thought was awesome, clever.
So I started writing it in September of 2012, and I finished my version in November.
Like October, November, because you write like a fiend.
Well, I had nothing better to do. You know, that's what happens when your U.S. Senate candidate loses and you're looking for a job. Well, I could always write this novel.
I remember now.
It'll fill up the hours.
Right, while applying for jobs. So that's what I did.
So what have you been doing?
I actually just hung my shingle out and started practicing myself. So I've been doing that since September of 2012, actually.
Okay.
And I always thought, well, if a better job comes along, I'll take it. But that just hasn't happened, and I enjoy practicing on my own. So
just going to stick with it.
Yep.
Yeah. You won't.
The first post on the website.
Yeah, so here the boss is really terrible.
Right. Yeah, he is. He
makes you work all the time.
Yeah. The
first post.
All the time, too. It's awful.
On the job. Ooh, it's even worse.
Wow.
The first post on the website was June 28th, 2011. In January of 2012, I posted, "The Hood has begun," or rather, I've begun writing.
January 2012.
Which was the first draft. Remember that first draft that had that crazy opening that was happening at the fair, and the execution of, and they were gonna
I don't remember
they were gonna they were gonna rescue Loxley, and then Loxley told him no.
No, I actually don't. Yeah,
it was
crazy.
There was a crazy.
I remember intro. I wrote a treatment of it that was like, "I'm sorry that we're boring you with all this nonsense."
No, it's like the creative
she
process.
Is super bored. Anyway, the point is,
we're going to be talking about a silent movie, so it's all right.
Well, okay.
And you know what? We need some content.
So might as well talk about this. Might as well. A book that doesn't really exist.
It's in
yours. Does.
Yeah, my book exists. It needs to be edited.
Mine's a third done at this point.
Well, at least. So, like, the first, I remember, like, at one point, like, half of this book was, like, down in the Crusades. Like, literally half the book was the Crusades, and you were like, dude, this book will be, like, 1,400 pages long unless you trim this out. So I did. So, I remember that.
There was, like, 5 or 6 chapters that before they ever get to England. It's like, wait a minute, you need to still get him back to England, get him assigned to be the sheriff. And then he has to do all this stuff as sheriff before you hand the story over to me.
I was like, no, I don't, because Robin Hood's coming to the Crusades.
That sounds like problems of future you, not current you. I mean, like, if you're in the middle of writing, and then you're like, just let future me worry about this.
Just let future me worry about it.
You just keep going, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's not bore these other people to death. We'll do something relevant to them. Unless they really enjoy talking about this.
About a book that I've not read.
That you've not read, and it's not even finished yet.
Yeah.
It's not work
in progress. Mind,
though, the website's been around for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
We're going on 3
There's
years.
A website, so
two posts.
It's like getting a business card.
Two posts.
Might as well get business cards. Authors of the Law and the Hood. Here you go. Call me.
Adam Driver. Who is Adam Driver?
So how have you been doing, Daryl?
I'm doing fairly well.
Good.
The yoga practice has really helped my back out, and my knees are in good shape again. And
good.
Now if I can just get my hips and hamstrings to break free, I'd be doing great.
Awesome.
So after 7 months of doing it, it's...
Well, I remember you started working out, I guess, I don't know, probably almost 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed you were still doing it because you walked in. I was like, dang, I guess he's still been working out. You look good.
Yeah, well,
you got the what-you-call-its, trapezoids.
Trapezius muscles.
Upper dorsimus. But it looks like you look good, man.
You build those up drinking, right?
That's right.
Those arm lifts.
Mm.
Yeah.
12-ounce curls.
Flex about back's flexible enough I can actually do the camel position now. I can't balance worth crap, but I can do most of the floor series work.
I don't know anything about yoga. So the camel position sounds a little disturbing to me. But...
It is. It's very disturbing.
Two humps.
That's... Thanks for clearing that up. It's, less disturbing.
No, it's only a single humper.
Yep.
Let's just say I can bend over backwards and grab my ankles now.
Holy, really?
Yes.
I can't do that.
No, I'm surprised I can. But I can't bend forward to touch my toes.
So how long have you been doing yoga?
7 months.
That's it?
Seems like you've been doing it longer than that.
No. I only started doing the Bikram yoga in August.
Mm. Nice.
I've been doing stretching exercises before that.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were
nowhere
doing
near as intense as this.
So you were doing that a couple years ago, even like at Archon.
Mm-hmm. It's taken off 70 pounds and really
it's fantastic.
And it's gotten most of my flexibility back, so
that's
which
cool.
I never had very much to begin with. Maybe in another 7 months, I can actually touch my toes.
What are you doing work-wise now?
I'm still working for the commercial telephone systems, but I'm looking for something else now.
Okay.
I updated my resume on Monsters and got a whole bunch of calls. And after I sorted out all the ones that I didn't want to be an insurance salesman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
God.
What about that unique opportunity for the person who wants to be part of a new sales corporation?
Yeah. I told them, yeah. That's what I keep saying. Like, what part of my resume says that I have any sales experience?
You can write English. That's the part.
Well, no.
That's the part.
I guess so. That you're, yeah, you have a body temperature of 98.6.
That's right. You
make a perfect insurance salesman. No.
You seem like you speak the language, so...
Yes, you can speak in coherent sentences.
Yeah, that's all you need.
So, Julie, how do you know these two guys?
I met them at Archon.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Just last year, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's great.
Sausage Fest.
Sausage Fest, all right.
Hey, buddy.
an unnatural attractor.
Cool.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is Tony.
We're the Backseat Producers, and we got to get our microphones situated.
Get them a little balance there.
Yeah, let's get everybody's
a sound check here.
I should have probably done that before we actually intro the show.
Oh, no.
Well, we can intro the show again.
No.
And not cut this out. That's what I would do.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is Tony.
We're going to do this 5 or 6 times.
Take 2.
You know what?
You can fix that in post.
We are the Recently Dead Guy podcast, and Harold Ramis just died.
I know. That was.
Damn. So we're going to Groundhog Day this episode, and we're going to start it like 17 times.
That sounds good to me.
Well, just remember, the artist, it took how many takes to get to that one scene?
Which one scene? I haven't gotten through the trivia yet, Daryl. Come on. Spoilers.
Oh. All
right, so you're going to, I guess, Anthony's been back with us for the first time in a billion.
Long time.
Yes. And you're going to take on that role that you know oh so well of the person who's going to pretend that they haven't seen the movie.
This trailer is fantastic. And
it is.
It won a lot of awards. Discussing it. The trailer did too? Really?
Probably.
Well, that's amazing.
All right. So now that we're all clear that's the role that you're playing tonight. Jolie, what'd you think?
Oh, the dialogue was shit.
Yeah, this is a very wordy pick.
It just kept, terrible dialogue. No, I hate this movie. I hate it. I hate it when I saw it. I hated it again.
Well.
Yeah.
Daryl, what'd you think?
It was a little slow for me to grow on me, but after I got into the story, I enjoyed it quite a bit. And
Panda, get down.
The movie is a technical marvel.
I enjoyed it. I don't know about technical marvel because it was mostly they mostly tried to make this a black and white silent movie.
Yeah, but there were many little technical details in this thing that were quite fantastically done. I mean, just trying to make a silent black and white film in the era of silent black and white films, I think, and actually pull it off.
Panda, get down.
And actually pull it off is a technical triumph in itself.
Don't call me Panda, Tony. I don't like that.
Yeah, well. You shouldn't have gotten drunk and gotten 2 black eyes.
Yes. Now having to wear the cone of shame.
That's what I've been doing for the past year. Anyway, so.
It's the street boxing.
Right.
How's that going, by the way?
It's going okay. I mean, it's when you're a world warrior, you have to, show up at random places. And you can usually only punch or kick. And maybe like 3 special moves. That if you work really hard at, you can combine.
So what's your finishing move? What do you call that?
The Shoryuken, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
All right, so I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was, I thought it told, the story was a little cliche, but considering, I liked how they told it and in the way they did that. But I'm kind of a sucker for the story of somebody who goes down hard on their luck and is prideful, and their pride is what ultimately destroys them, and almost literally completely destroys them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many unhappy endings of many stars of the Hollywood era, the silent era. That did not make the transition to the talkies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, some of them were really tragic because these were really good actors in that era.
Yeah.
But their voices or their pride did not allow them to make that transition. But there were many successful ones who had been more or less considered B actors, made their transition really well and became very big names.
Yeah. So what, why did you hate this movie?
Well,
because you use some strong words.
That's true, because I didn't just dislike it. I actively hate it. Well, for one thing, the thing that I always am really suspicious of Hollywood reflexive movies. Like, anytime Hollywood makes a movie about itself, and then they're like, we gotta shower this thing with awards, because it must be great, because it's about us.
Well, this is a funny thing. This is not Hollywood reflecting back a system. This is a French-made film that was done in Belgium.
Yeah, I just, yeah. Well, and
what
then
else was up this year, though?
2011?
I don't remember.
I'll check it out.
The other problem that I have is that I saw Singing in the Rain. I feel like, you know, all topics were already covered in Singing in the Rain, which is a movie I like. So. Yes,
I know. You can also go pick up, you know, Sunset Boulevard, which sure. essentially tells a more personal story, but does not have a quite a good ending. It's more rather bittersweet.
Right. And then it's like, you know, and then I watched again, and we just lost our beloved dog, and then there was an adorable dog.
Oh, yes. Like,
that dog was adorable.
And fantastic. Better sometimes is a better actor.
And then it made me kind of angry that my own dog is so dumb that I can never teach it to do
That's
the gun,
because
shoot.
It's not a Jack Russell Terrier.
I guess not. My dog, yeah.
What kind of, you're just the Chihuahua?
Well, I had the reason that we got the puppy... The puppy that falls over because its head's too big is because we previously had a Chihuahua that we really loved, but who died in a rather tragic way. So it was he became our rebound puppy. We gave him a name, by the way. His name is Pesci.
Pesci?
Pesci.
It's a good name.
Nice. Especially for a Chihuahua.
Yeah, because he's tiny and angry.
Tiny and angry.
That's awesome.
So we call him Pesci.
I would approve every Chihuahua being called Pesci and just number them.
Yep. So that's why I didn't like this movie. And also it was really boring.
I'll have to agree with you that. The first 30 minutes of the film, you have to sit through before it kind of grows on you.
See, I didn't have that problem with it. I mean, I knew what I was getting in that it was a silent film.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard that there were some parts of it that had sound, but I didn't know.
How could
know.
You hear parts of that?
Because they had sound. And there was music playing the whole time.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy talk. All right. This must be a technical marvel. Anyway.
It was. It was fantastic. I actually liked it. I just like the whole setup of the happy-go-lucky, kind of arrogant.
George Valentin.
Yeah. George, was it Valentin?
Valentin.
George Valentin. Who is kind of a Douglas Fairbanks? Who did they say there was? They said that he was based on Douglas Fairbanks and John Gilbert, who both starred in The Silent Swashbucklers, and he kind of had that swagger about him. He was just he's a handsome, always kind of has that half cocked grin on his face, like, you know, I just
he's
know
in charge. He's on top of the world and in charge, yeah. Large and in charge.
And he can, you know, he can flirt with the ladies and come home, and his wife gives him the stink eye for flirting with the ladies, and he just gives her that, oh, come on, honey, you know how it is. And
yes,
you know,
I got to maintain my image,
right? And his charisma and his swagger get him through life.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I mean, they show that. And that's what I actually liked about the first 30 minutes, where it not much happened, but it sets up
the story.
You
yeah.
really understand who that guy is, and that's just him. He's kind of shallow. He's kind of vapid. He's got a huge ego about him,
mm-hmm.
and can back it up with
his
smile.
He's a
Hollywood movie star, and you know, and everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm.
And just walking down the street, everybody loves him.
Yeah. And my problem with the movie is nothing to do with that particular character, because I think he's like, what's the actor's name? Jean Dujardin, I think?
Yeah,
Dujardin.
Jean
Dujardin.
Is so charming. Like, he's so, and the only other thing I think that I can remember him in, he was in Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. He's great in that movie. So
I haven't seen it yet, so.
Well, he's in it. Spoiler.
Ah!
He's also in several
ruined movies.
So,
He's also in Monuments Men, too.
All right. Oh, is he? Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. He is.
What are you doing?
And he's really, you know, he's really great. And I, you know, my dislike of this movie has nothing to do with him, because, you know, he does all right in this part. He's perfect for it. I can't think of...
You need somebody with that kind of swagger to do it. I can see somebody like Ben Affleck doing it.
Or Clooney,
yeah. I can absolutely see Clooney doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, and you don't get this till the very end, you need somebody who's got a problem with him when it comes to coming to the talkies. And being a Frenchman with a fairly noticeable accent for the two words he says,
yeah,
that's the problem. And you don't tell you that. They never say it out loud. They just say it's going to be a problem. And he knows it before anybody else does.
Well, he said several times, who wants to hear me talk?
Right.
Yeah. Clearly, they could have done like a Hercules in New York where they dubbed all of Arnold Schwarzenegger's part.
Well, yeah. Dubbing was not that was available at that time. I mean, sound recording, they were lucky just to get it onto the film itself.
Yeah.
The automatic dialogue replacement and overdubbing were still many years off.
Sure.
So another thing that I liked was when he gets to the point, when they kind of introduce that the talkies are coming and he has that dream that's in sound.
Yes. Now that was
cleverly
really
done.
Very, very eerie.
Yeah. Because you get so used to the silence everywhere.
And then when he hears the puts the cup down onto the dresser table, hears the clink and the dog bark and all the sounds. And then it's really shocking to him because I've heard myself.
The dog has gone insane chasing his own tail.
Yes.
Look, I'm talented. I could replace that dog in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
That dog was adorable.
Right. Jack Russell's always
are. And was incredibly well trained.
Yep.
Actually, there were three of them.
Was there?
Yes, there were three separate dogs.
Ruining the illusion, man.
Man.
So don't feel so bad about your dog. It would take three dogs to be as well trained.
That's true. That's true. If only I can. But see, all I really want him to do is I want him to do the gun trick because that is so adorable.
That was.
But he did.
Yeah. And I feel like that would never. You could just.
Sometimes I think in this movie the dog had better sense than the humans occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he had that great Lassie moment about 2/3 of the way in with the fire where he goes and gets help.
Sure. My dog would never do that for me. What a useless.
Hey, I can escape. I'm out.
I'm out, yes. Free meals are over.
But yeah, I liked how that part of it was. I liked how he flirted with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But Peppy?
Peppy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very early Hollywood. I like how he flirted with her, but it wasn't overtly sexual, and it was playful and helpful. And he did honestly do something that he thought it was going to help her, but it was so minor. But it apparently gave her that boost of confidence that she needed to take on the world.
Yep. One thing I mentioned, some of the technical marvels of the film. There's one splendid scene where Peppy is in his dressing room early on in the on the day that she's doing her extra role, and she walks in and she writes thank you on the mirror, and she turns around and looks at his jacket or his tuxedo, and she leans into it and starts smelling it, and then the hand comes out. And holds her waist, and she's kind of like reveling in the moment.
Uh-huh.
Now that was splendidly eerie.
It was creepy, and then, it's like you can kind of see her imagination just going in overdrive.
Going wild, and then he walks in, and the hand just slowly retracts back into the jacket as she looks up slightly embarrassed.
Yeah.
And he's looking at this, and he's not really freaked out about it or anything. He sort of thinks it's kind of interesting.
Well, she's flirting with his jacket.
Well,
he's like,
she's imagining.
He knows he's still got it. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yes. He has that way with women. And
yeah.
Very, I guess.
It's just huge
male ego boost.
It feeds his ego. I don't think he
but
needs a boost.
But technically, that scene was really, really well done.
Yeah.
Because it put into the mind that, ooh, she is really, she's not just a mere fan anymore. She's really deeply in with him. She thinks a lot of him.
But what's interesting is that at that point, I almost questioned whether it was being him, because she didn't imagine him. Mm-hmm. She imagined a faceless coat.
She was looking for the image of him. The
or was it the image of success in the tuxedo?
Mm-hmm.
She was snuggling up to success, to a tuxedo. There was no face to it.
Yeah, but the thing is, he is so identified, that costume is so him, that she didn't really need a leap of imagination.
I think she was just, I think you could argue she's just, at that moment, she's just being a fangirl about it. Like,
she's just fantasizing,
Yeah, it would be like, you know, any 13-year-old stumbling into One Direction's dressing room and then like, oh, that is a... That is Harry Styles' sweatshirt. I'm going to smell it. And it's like, oh, you know, it's the same thing. I see it as the same thing.
Or you. You would do that.
I don't know anything about One Direction.
Yeah, me neither. Go figure.
Yeah, but you pulled out Harry Styles' name.
I don't have all their albums, and I don't have any tickets to any concerts anywhere or nothing.
What is wrong with this country?
Yes. What
so these were some of the other films that came out that year. Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, The Tree of Life, Super 8.
Panda Get Down.
Moneyball. That was nominated for a lot that year. Yeah. Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Drive, which was a good movie. Ides of March. Transformers Dark of the Moon, also nominated for many
awards.
Crazy Stupid Love. So there were quite a few good movies out that year.
Yes, and three of them were French-made films, believe it or not. And they weren't in the foreign film category.
Right.
So the artist wasn't beating out a bunch of weak pictures that year.
Oh, no. That was a very strong, bunch. So this movie, it's despite, you know, a fairly powerful field of other films, did fairly well at the Oscars.
How many awards did it win?
Five.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good for the Oscars these days. Because they don't do it anymore where they like, here's 12 awards to one movie. I mean, they hardly ever do that. I think the last time they did it was for Return of the King, which is when they were really awarding three movies.
Well, yes. Yeah. And it was such a grand slam
right
at that time. Because it was it's a very weak field. But
so the movie was rated PG-13.
Yes. Very unusual.
Yeah. For what? There is a suicide.
I think that's really the only thing that's even remotely questionable. I was trying to think about that, and it's like,
well,
there's the fire.
Yeah.
Then there's the almost suicide.
It says rated PG-13 for a disturbing image and a crude gesture.
So I would say it's probably mostly for the suicide.
I would say it's mostly for the suicide. That's the disturbing image, because it does. He's got the gun in his mouth.
And then you hear a bang.
Yeah. I actually liked how they did that, because I immediately thought he killed himself. Mm-hmm. I honestly did.
They had me going that one too. It's the car.
Oh, it's the car. But you can get away with that in a silent movie. You can't get away with that in a movie where there's sound. You just can't.
You can have a tremendous amount of misdirection.
Yeah. I thought that was really well done. I want to know how they found all those old cars in that scene where she's driving, because every one was a period car, and there was quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Well, where they find them, those comes out of Collector's Museum. There's plenty of people around that have those type of cars that just love to have them in a movie.
There was quite a few.
Yes.
And it was an impressive amount considering what they were showing. And I scrutinized the crash scene just a little bit, and that car was about 6 inches away from that tree.
Yeah.
Well, that could have been a prop car too.
It was, and there was smoke, but there was no visible damage on the car. It was a nice setup.
Yeah.
But that was fine, because I mean, the one thing that I can say very confidently was I really dug the production value that they put into making this look
Yes. They dumped a lot of detail
in the detail of, I mean, just having it in 4x3 to start, because it took me a while to realize that, because I was actually watching on a computer screen, and it was like I went to change the aspect a little bit, and it was like, huh, that's television aspect, that's not widescreen. So they did that. They shot it in 22 frames.
22 frames a second.
But ran it in 24, so it gives it that little bit of a sped up feel, like a lot of the old movies
have. Yeah, but because they were usually filmed at 14 frames a second.
Yeah, between 14 and 24. I don't think there was really a standard yet at that point.
What are you doing? Well, as fast as the guy could turn the crank.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I dug that. They shot it in color, but made it black and white. I really like that. There's a lot of transitions. They use white transitions just like you'd see. No zooms.
Because the focus pullers didn't have zoom lenses at the time.
Right.
If you see, there's one scene in there where Pippi is talking with Art, the studio producer.
Mm-hmm.
You see the the cameraman takes his measuring tape out and he's measuring from the camera lens to Pepe's position.
Yeah.
Because it's lock focus. Mm-hmm. They didn't have every move had to be change the camera focus. And that's why in those older movies, you don't see the actors move around a lot.
Right.
Because they're locked focus. Excuse me. The cameras are locked down.
So the actors, John Goodman, mm-hmm. James Cromwell in
yes.
yeah.
a surprisingly minor role. I mean,
but he dominates that role so well.
He's great.
Is he?
No. I think so. I see,
the thing that I have a hard time with is, can you really call any of these performances good?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm dubious.
Especially
because of the nature of the film.
Especially yeah. Jean Desjardins.
Well, yeah.
He is fantastic.
I mean, yeah, because he mugs so well.
But that's the way he's been trained to do.
And that's the character. That's the character, too.
I mean, that's fine. That's exactly what he's supposed to do. But it's kind of like, I don't know that any of them I thought were particularly impressive in acting. And also, James Cromwell is just kind of like, I don't know. I just didn't think anything about any of the other actors was particularly impressive.
But the fact is that these are modern actors trying to reproduce a look and feel from about 90 years ago.
Sure.
And that's the fact that they even got most of the gestures down for a silent era film is very astute in itself.
I imagine the temptation to go overboard with your motions and gesturing because there's no sound. You know that the words that you're speaking are falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
That it's all audio that's lost. You have to
take the performance through your face, your body language, and sort of a knowledge that the audience is going to pick up what he's trying to say with the help of the individual's vocal cards.
Right. When they had them.
When they had them.
Because there were quite a few scenes where they didn't have them.
But it didn't matter because I could understand kind of what the discussion was just by looking at their expressions in the scene they were set in. What happened after,
too.
Yeah, I could kind of guess that the dialogue was going on.
Sure.
There's another, I guess, interesting, well, there's one little technical, a huge technical mistake, I should say, in this movie where he's pouring out all his scene there where he's pouring out all his films on the floor and setting fire to them.
Oh, the thing would have.
Yeah, the nitrocellulose film would have exploded and blown the whole building up.
Right.
Because he's like, nitrate film stock they have was just one step away from gunpowder.
Yeah, that's I learned that in Inglourious Bastards.
That's right. In Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah, that's right.
And plus he would have died from the toxic fumes long before Oogie had a chance to come back and rescue him. But other than that, it did make for a nice dramatic scene. There's another little nice scene in there when he's looking at the blank screen and his shadow turns and walks away from him. And he says, "Okay, you loser. You know, go away." And he's sitting here in front of the screen and there's with the projector's light behind him and there's no shadow on the screen. Which, I guess, finally indicates that he's lost everything in his mind. I mean, I've lost everything I owned. I lost my career, my audience. I've even lost my shadow. Doesn't even want to be associated with me. So at that point, he's apparently hit the rock bottom. And even the funny thing is, even when Pippi tries to help him, he's still got that arrogant pride that, I'm too good for this.
Right.
I mean, he walks into that room and sees all his stuff that she had bought at auction and has stored away from him. And is he grateful? No. He's incensed that, she's trying to be nice to me. Well, yeah. You ain't figured it out yet?
I think he feels sorry for him or something.
Yeah, he's pity.
He thought she was pitying
him. Yeah.
And because of his ego. I mean, right. with somebody with that big of an ego, that's
But he still hasn't figured out that she respects him quite a bit and doesn't want to see him fall this far. Yeah. I mean, when she comes in there and hands Crawford hands him the box of chocolates and the script. And he looks at the script and he's like saying, like, "Oh, here's a chance for a comeback." He's incensed. Mm-hmm. And he said, and he says to him, he says, you know, Mrs. Miller is a very good person. You should recognize that. And yeah. Still, he what's he do? He gets out and walks away.
Don't let your pride be your downfall. He is told that.
Point blank. Mm-hmm. And everybody sticks with him, and even, you know, his butler chauffeur, you know, sticks with him for a year without pay, and he still hasn't figured it out until he finally says, you know, you're fired. Go, you know, get away from me. I mean, just go on with your life. And who's he going to work for? Of course, is Pippi. Overall, the movie is enjoyable. Just get through the first 30 minutes of it to get the story set up, and then it becomes much more enjoyable to sit back and watch the movie magic.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Go watch Midnight in Paris, which I loved, and skip this one.
That one came out that year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to
disagree.
I loved Midnight in Paris, so.
I'm going to disagree with you and say watch this movie. It is good, and it shows you the lengths you have to go through for storytelling when you don't have the crutch of dialogue.
You know, but here's the thing. We have dialogue. We have the technology. We can build it better. That's all I'm saying.
Well, still, we're looking at something from the 1920s. Or a movie that would have been made in the 1920s.
Yeah, I know, but there's no reason for it.
Well, it is a reason because, most of us
it's an interesting way to tell a story. And that is reason enough.
It required actors to really act.
This movie doesn't exist as a movie with sound. Mm-hmm. There's no interesting way to tell the story with sound.
If you're going to do that, if you're going to do that.
I'll say this. I've not seen the movie, obviously, but I've seen a few silent movies, and I've hated them all. I mean, I have not enjoyed a single one that I've seen. So maybe it's a matter of
City Lights. Have you seen that?
City Lights. You know, Modern Times was not bad.
Yeah,
Modern Times was not bad. I understood that one. Metropolis, I didn't enjoy.
Nosferatu.
I didn't see Nosferatu. There was a movie with Josephine Baker. I saw. I didn't enjoy that. Metropolis, I didn't enjoy. Modern Times was okay. I guess there's three silent movies.
Metropolis was the first DVD that I ever bought.
Really? Well, how did you know if the DVD had any sound? That's really a bummer.
Because it had the orchestral score behind it.
Yeah, it was rough. And my stereo cranked all the way up.
The volume button, you're like, man, this DVD player doesn't do anything.
It just comes with sheet music and you have to sit down at your piano.
Yeah, that's right. Player piano or something. So, no, but...
It came with a separate CD that you had to put in and sync them up.
I think it's a matter of personal taste. I mean, I have never enjoyed...
Yes. Drop the needle right at the lion's roar.
Maybe I'll enjoy this one. Maybe it's a little newer in some ways, but I've never enjoyed any of the ones that I've seen. So
I dug it. I liked it. I wasn't sure what to think going in, and I was pleasantly surprised at this in the way that I was pleasantly surprised with Amelie.
If you want to see the same story with sound dialogue, get Sunset Boulevard.
Okay. Okay.
Or watch Singing in the Rain, which is fantastic.
No, mm-hmm. I won't.
I love Singing in the Rain.
Musicals? No.
But it's a good one.
No, they shortcut story for songs that are terrible that have nothing to do with
songs.
The story.
They're great.
Which is interesting in terms of how this movie ended.
Which I loved the ending. Yes. I loved the ending because it showed how the evolution of film. Because you went from silent movies to talkies, and
then
how is this person going to still have a career? And so they did a dance number.
So he did Busby Berkeley dance numbers. Yeah, I mean that was kind of a little. Tip off in the earlier part
Panda
of the film,
down.
Where awesome. He's doing a little dance number with Pippi. In fact, that's how Pippi gets her audition for extras, is she can dance. But that was an era also when actors not only had to be multi-talented, they had to be able to act, they had to be able to sing, they had to be able to dance. They were pretty multi-talented.
Yeah.
And you don't really see
like
that.
And it's Singing
that
in the point, Rain, where they also talked.
And at that point, you also find out why he couldn't be a talkie. Mm-hmm. Because he has a French accent.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He speaks for the first time because the first line of dialogue in the movie that you hear is they do the dance number and you hear cut. And you hear the dance number, you hear their feet throughout the dance number.
Taps.
And you hear the heavy breathing, they're done. And then there's some dialogue. And then you know, they do this thing where they're like, all right, let's do one more take. And so the last line of dialogue in the movie is action. And that all takes place in like 2 minutes.
Okay.
And that's the only sound dialogue you hear.
But also notice the two that they're in when they do the pullback from the stage. We see now though there's more technical sophistication because we see the sound man to the left. The camera is motorized now on a dolly. The director and this writer are still sitting in the front, but it's gotten a lot more sophisticated by 1933. And of course you have the boom guy sitting there trying to dangle the mic over the actors trying to stay out of frame.
I didn't even notice that. My opinion would not have changed had I noticed that, though.
But I haven't heard a reason other than you don't like that they didn't talk.
No, because it's boring. I don't need any other reason other than it's boring. It is so standard fare in terms of storytelling that I'm just...
But it's non-standard fare because they didn't talk.
I know, which is like handicapping an already boring story by making it more boring. That's my problem.
I didn't see it as a boring story.
If this show had no video, people would be like, what are they doing?
That's why we lost all our audience.
Because we are great looking. I mean,
well, we actually used to do video.
Yeah.
And then we did video that was just a card.
A card?
Yeah, but that we could still then broadcast out.
Did we really have a larger audience when we were on video? What would make the difference?
People just stopped listening.
What do you mean?
We just have a smaller audience now than we did during that period.
It has nothing to do with the video. No. It just has to do with the fact that the
people have stopped listening to podcasts.
I mean, we've been doing the same formula for like 9 years, so that maybe has
to do with it too. Almost eight.
Almost eight. Okay. So,
yeah, it's podcasts are in general are dying,
right?
And the listenership overall of podcasts, I think, is. I don't think it's growing. I think it's flatlined at this point, if not has taken a downturn.
Yeah.
And most people are listening to the commercial podcasts at this point.
Right.
And quite frankly, there are ways that we could get our listenership way up. I'm on multiple mailing lists where we could do interviews and things like that. If we turn this into an interview show, this wouldn't be recorded on Wednesday nights. This wouldn't be recorded by four people. It would be me on Skype interviewing someone.
Right.
And that's not what I want to do. That's not fun.
Not what we're about.
That's not fun for me. I've enjoyed the people we've interviewed, but
it's not a reason for existence.
Exactly. Exactly. And if we did that, our listenership would skyrocket because you had so and so on, or you had that person on.
Now those sort of things should be special occasions. It should not be the reason we exist.
Right. And to have those people on, it's not like when we're quote unquote interviewing T and Pip or something like that, where it's like we're talking to our friends about it's just adding different people to the mix. This would be like actors, directors, writers, stuff like that.
I was on one. We interviewed the guys responsible for some of the 3D films.
The 3D conversions.
Yeah,
and that was actually really interesting.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one.
But and I was mostly interested because I don't think we would ever get their point of view without that interview.
True.
Because everybody's like 3D. Either, yay, 3D's cool and different, or boo, 3D sucks, it needs to die in a fire. And it's like there's nobody wants to talk about the process of making things 3D or how it happens if it's not shot in 3D natively and the reasons why that group was trying to do it. That was interesting to me, regardless of whether you like 3D or not. Just talking to those guys was a cool experience.
Mm-hmm. Just the technical aspects of it. Taking something that's designed as a 2D and then adding a dimensionalization to it.
But at the same time, I realized through interviews like that having four people sitting around a table interviewing
like one
two
or two
people,
guys. Yeah, that's...
There were threads there that we were either letting dangle or we were going down avenues that they just weren't interested in discussing.
Barbecue. And
yeah. Yeah. You should have never brought up your toenail clippings. Is
that was probably not a good problem. Move, but in 2D, I mean, that's just not satisfactory.
So they fly, when you snip it like and they fly it at you and hit you in the eye? Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see what that was like in 3D. They wouldn't do it.
Huh. It was unfortunate. We had video for them.
Oh, no. Raw stock.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Go back and find this episode. Everything we said is absolutely 100% true.
But yeah,
so we're like the artists of podcasting. I mean, it's like dying medium. It's moving on to something else.
We're the silent era.
We haven't gone back to sitting in a small room with a stick mic between us,
tied to a Jack Daniel's bottle. I really think that's the future of podcasting myself. But
that was a fun night.
It was a fun night. What do you mean fun night? That was tied to a Jack Daniel's bottle for months, I thought.
No, it was just the one night.
Just the one night?
Just the one night.
Now we have this great...
Like you broke that stand. You broke the... So you had a stick mic.
Now we have this great, big, sophisticated soundboard and high-tech mics. And God, we've gone so...
You sold out,
yes,
man.
No, I haven't sold anything. I've bought a lot of shit.
Where's
I
know. The artistry,
I haven't sold man? Anything. That's the problem. I'm just spending money. I'm not getting any.
Yes.
I'm We're spending doing it for money. The art. Then I donate my time to give money to other people.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Then we have this big, big charity ball.
We do have a really cool party to show.
Yes. We have this great big charity ball, which raises thousands of dollars for a very noble cause. And that's what we're known for.
That is not the show.
Oh, but it all came out of
it. It is not all this stuff on my table that I've had to pay for.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, very cool.
I think Panda's saying it's time for you to be done.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put him in the show notes.
What?
Because of all the banging that is going on.
Yeah. The cone doesn't help. He is wearing the cone of shame tonight.
So what movies do you like real quick?
What movies do I like?
Yeah, just out of curiosity.
let's see. My favorites are like The Thin Blue Line, The Big Lebowski. Let's see some others that I really like. Chinatown.
Nice.
Those are just the ones I'm thinking of off the top.
Cool.
Of
no.
Although, you know, there's a lot.
It gives me an idea.
I'm not a snob, except when it comes to this movie, because I hated this movie.
All right. Cool.
All right. Next week, the Lego Movie.
Mm, yes.
Nice.
Where we get it all together.
I still haven't seen it, so yes. I still need to make that happen.
Yes. There's a whole bunch of good ones starting this week, too. So,
well, and the Oscar movies have started to come out in ways that we can actually see them.
Yes, and if you're in the St. Louis area, the Tivoli Theater is showing the Oscar animated shorts and the Oscar non-animated shorts, too. So if you'd ever get to see these... at any time on the large screen, the Tivoli Theater is showing them.
Cool.
Which one of these are you really going to cover out of the nominees? There's like 12 nominees now.
We'll probably go through most of them. We've really? Already done one.
Which one did you guys do?
I don't remember.
Gravity.
That's the one.
Because that was the one I made you do.
Yeah, that was
Oh, choice. I want to be here for The Wolf of Wall Street, whenever that happens.
I can talk about that movie for hours, man.
Well, you're gonna get your opportunity here. Yes.
I bet 12 years a slave wins.
You think so? Well, I guess. Yeah, the good money is on.
It's too socially
guilt.
Conscious to not.
Yeah, bet on but... guilt or Hollywood if you get the chance, and if you don't, you know.
Yeah, but there's also the Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
American Hustle.
Which is not going to win Best Picture. And it might, I mean, Matthew McConaughey might win.
I really doubt American Hustle wins, although it would be cool if it did.
Stranger things have happened.
Because it was great. I loved American Hustle.
And The Wolf of Wall Street won't win because they already gave Scorsese his award and they weren't even happy about that. So.
A damn shame because it was good too.
Silver Linings Playbook win?
No. It was nominated, but it won all the Best Actor awards.
That could be the way that David O. Russell
wins.
Yeah.
I I don't know.
Because
how old is he?
He's not that old.
Right. I have a feeling they'll let him hang around a few more years before they give him anything. They don't like to give movies like American Hustle Best Picture. I mean, they just don't.
But it's got a fairly big ensemble, and they like ensembles. See, they like ensembles though, because ensembles mean that more work.
Yeah, but it's funny, and they never give Best Picture to funny movies.
Christian Bale's in it, and they never give Christian Bale anything except when he won Best Supporting Actor.
There's that.
Hollywood is fickle.
Well, except for that one time I did.
Well, I shouldn't say Hollywood is fickle. I say the Academy is very, very fickle.
They are very fickle. Well, but it's hard. I'm just judging it against when Christian Bale basically should have won like 9 Best Actor awards by now. And
but
he's
the
only one
thing
won
is,
one
it's
supporting
like
actor.
The thing is what that when you've got 12 for? Movies to go against, it's really hard to make. Somebody's gonna lose out.
Right? No, yeah. I mean, all these movies are in their own way good. I guess I don't know. I haven't seen them all.
Well, some are more technically. Yeah, some.
There's the difference between like the year that The Blind Side was nominated for Best Picture. And I saw The Blind Side, and it should not have been nominated for Best Picture. But, you know, because it was like, oh, that movie, I mean, it's never going to win, but somehow it got nominated just because they have to pack all the nominees.
They should stop doing the 10 again.
They got to get
cut it
down
to 6.
Cut it down to 5. They had 5 for a long time. They need to go back to 5. There's no reason.
Why they have this big a field.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of suspect that, like, if they had cut it down to 5, that there would be movies in there that I really, really enjoyed that wouldn't get nominated. And I mean, I guess
that's why they opened it up.
That's why they do it, because they want some popular movies to get in there so that people think that their movie that they've seen that they love has a chance that doesn't, that does not have a chance.
Well, I'm just trying to think what was so popular this
the first year,
year
they
nominated.
Did it, but the first year they did it, they had like District 9.
Yeah.
And that was
a really good movie.
And they had District 9.
But it would have never gotten nominated
and
in the old formula.
No,
you're right.
Neither one of them would have gotten nominated in the old formula. Both were great movies. And
Captain Phillips was a very popular movie that got nominated this year that probably wouldn't have been nominated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
True.
It got nominated because of Tom Hanks.
And people genuinely love that movie. I mean, you know, it's about a timely event and, you know, it's kind of a pro.
It was good.
You know, American movies, you know.
I mean,
people liked it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was a good movie. I don't know that I liked it.
But was it a great one?
Well, right. It probably wouldn't get nominated in the old 5 system.
Well, that's just it. You know, the Oscar nominee, Oscar Best Film, is supposed to be, in my mind, something that's timeless. You can watch it 30 years from now, and it will still be just as great then as it is now. Most of these movies that they're pulling up now are not going to be that way.
Yeah, but they make a lot of really poor choices.
I know.
Okay, so
Academy is again.
Yeah, that should have never won. There were 2 other better movies that year. 3, actually.
But The Artist was good.
The only way we can influence this.
I'm sorry that you're wrong about that.
Well, the only way we can change this is for us
to
become
to be
members
That's
of the
fine.
Academy and start voting.
You started off wrong with Gravity.
I don't think that's that bad
of an idea. We should just we should vote, and that would be our Best Picture of the year. We just put our votes in.
Well, no, let's just become members of the Motion Picture Society Academy, and that way we get the screeners. That way
that
we
sounds
can vote.
Like too much work. Why don't we just pretend we're members?
So there are 9 movies this year.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips shouldn't be on this list. Her should not be on this list.
Oh, you're wrong.
Gravity
looks great, though.
You
I've never
so
seen it.
You are so wrong about that.
It looks good.
But you know what?
That movie was so moving. It was
What's
so...
That's
what?
Fine.
I'm
but it's not...
Incredibly
that
well
movie,
acted.
That
oh
movie
God,
will
it's,
never win.
It's amazing,
It's a
though.
Genre movie. It will never win.
But it's amazing.
It doesn't matter.
God.
I'm paring it down to 5 here.
Her should be on
Gravity would have been nominated anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's a special effects film.
It would not have been nominated for Best Picture.
Yes,
sure, it would have won,
yes, it
but
would
it would
have
been nominated.
It would not have been top 5.
I think
absolutely.
That, yeah,
absolutely.
What would you cut off
been.
This list?
Well, I would probably
cut
4. Off, okay, Philomena, Captain Phillips.
Philomena, I disagree with. Philomena is the kind of movie that Oscar loves.
Her, and I'd probably cut off Wolf of Wall Street because Scorsese's already won, and they wouldn't see the need to nominate
him
again.
But
that
leaves out Leonardo DiCaprio anyway.
Well, that's the wrong rationale, but that's how they decide everything.
Wolf and American Hustle. I think those movies are too close. One of them would have made the cut.
Oh, American Hustle. Yeah, American Hustle wouldn't have made the cut either, I bet. So, Gravity, I say Gravity would stay. I mean, Clooney's in it. He's always nominated for everything, and it's a big special effects movie, and it got rave reviews. I'm not saying it would win, but it's like the Apollo 13 of the Oscars. Just saying.
Man, you're not selling this movie.
Just saying.
You didn't like Apollo 13?
Apollo 13 was okay.
It was okay, but my point is, aren't we talking about not what the best five are, but what the ones that Oscars would nominate, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah, okay, so...
With the, I think the, Dallas getting, cutting Club, out all the fluff, getting down to the really serious ones.
Yeah.
I think right. Dallas Buyers Club, Nebraska, 12 Years a Slave.
They would be nominated.
I would have a really hard time telling with somebody telling me those wouldn't be in the five, those three movies. Just because... That's just Oscar bait. Those movies are all Oscar bait.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're rather human driven stories. There's not a huge amount of special effects in them, and they're really socially relevant.
I wonder about. They always seem to want to have one little more indie ish movie,
and that would be Nebraska.
I think Nebraska
is very indie ish.
I think Nebraska would be the indie toss in
the flyer. Yes, yeah. The dark horse.
And of the rest of them, it would be the other one that they threw in there that's never going to win.
And that would be Gravity.
It could be Gravity. It could be Wolf of Wall Street.
That's five.
That's six.
Why is it six? You got Dallas Buyers Club,
Dallas Buyers Club, 12 Years a Slave, Nebraska. I think Philomena would make the cut too.
Okay. So then either Gravity or Wolf of Wall Street. I just don't think... I think the reason Wolf of Wall Street gets nominated is because DiCaprio and Scorsese are doing it, and it's 10 pictures. If it's five pictures... They already gave Scorsese the award. They wouldn't give it to him again. They might nominate DiCaprio for Best Actor or whatever, but they wouldn't put him up for Best Picture. Especially because so many people hated this movie in the Academy. There are people who supposedly hated that movie.
Yeah,
There's people in the public that hate this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, jerks. Oh, well. Indeed. Jerks, indeed.
Now I need to see some.
Shutter Island should have won Best Picture.
Oh my God! It's
I love Shutter Island.
It was awesome.
I love Shutter Island. Great. It was so good.
So
and that movie had some really great technical layers to it too, like the really weird cut scene that was that when you go back, is was that his memory or was it his?
Or that all those scenes they shot in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Creepy.
Great
creepy
movie.
All right, we're gonna be done.
Peace out. Great to be back. Enjoyed it.
It's good seeing you.
Nice to meet you.
Is the fight circuit going to bring you through St. Louis again soon?
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I have to fight a sumo wrestler in Japan who apparently can move his hands super fast.
Yeah, but can he move his feet super fast? You go right for the nuts.
This isn't the super edition. This is just the regular Nintendo version of my life. So it's just the hands.
Just the hands. No feet. You can't kick.
Right. So, all right.
Thanks, which is pretty hilarious considering all the Punch-Out references we've been making over the last two or 3 months.
Never-ending.
We're kickstarting a Punch-Out movie, by the way.
Punch-Out movie?
Yeah, we're gonna get a
Punch-Out the movie.
Are you gonna get Mike Tyson in it?
No.
Sure.
It's not the Tyson version. We probably could.
We can't afford him.
You probably
cameo.
Could.
Cameo. That guy can't act anything, but cameo. He could.
Absolutely. He could be himself.
He seems like he's the ring announcer. Kind of guy that's got a lot of free time.
He could be the ringside announcer.
He could be the ringside announcer.
No.
Yes.
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 Color commentary at best.
No. No. That's the best part. Is him in that lisp?
You're trying to make this movie fail.
No.
No, that would be great. Everybody would think on that.
This is understating the movie. So we're going to get a Kickstarter, and with the money that we earn from the Kickstarter, we're going to get the rights to make a Punch-Out movie. And then we're going to need another Kickstarter to hire a writer.
I don't often exaggerate, but this sounds like the greatest idea I have ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah. Who needs a writer?
That's true.
The last two movies we reviewed, they didn't have a writer. They didn't even have a script.
That's fair.
You guys reviewed Borat and... Bruno or those
Drinking Buddies.
Drinking about? Buddies.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is a movie where the kid said, okay, ad-lib the whole thing. Here's the setup. So we can do the same thing. We could become the Drinking Buddies of Punch-Out.
I don't know that a boxing movie is necessarily one you want to entirely ad-lib, although the result...
Come on, every boxing movie is an ad-lib.
Might be hilarious.
That would be the great thing.
Do you want to go outside?
This is all right. Cutscenes edited together. I'll see y'all next week.
Yeah, it's great to be here.